I'd like to welcome everyone out to the regular session of our June 17th, 2025 City Council meeting. I'm Mayor Horrocks. Welcome to those visiting. Our first item is we'll turn over to Council Member Baskin for the pledge and then a thought or prayer.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here together again, and I think the thought that I've got is we've had a lot of dramatic news that we've seen in the last 5-6 days, some of which I wasn't even in the country to witness. And I think just the takeaway from all of that is how important it is to have reasoned leadership and people who are leading us, and as we lead, with thoughtfulness and care, and care with regard to what we say to each other and how we interact in our social settings and leadership positions. Also, I would like to say a prayer tonight, and then we'll pledge allegiance. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here and serve. We're grateful for many blessings. Please help us tonight to make good decisions. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lisa. Our next item is citizen comment. If there's someone that would like to come address the council, please come forward, state your name and address.
D. Lawless, I live on 74 East, 300 North. I have a question for the council, and maybe Ken can answer the part on there. We have, throughout the year and in the past, and last Saturday was an example of the second Saturday, second trash pickup. I'm not sure what are the days that people have trash picked up in their neighborhoods. Ours is on Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon sometime. I decided that I was going to put some stuff in the can and put it out. I forgot to put it out Friday night, as I was sort of advised by the note that I got earlier. But I figured, well, the trash usually comes in our neighborhood somewhere about noon or 1 o'clock or whatever. I am not sure what time they came by. I know it was before 8 o'clock, and I think it was before 7 o'clock because I didn't hear them. And so from Thursday until Friday night, if you're really busy on Friday, you could have used it. And I'm not sure how they, what their charges on that, were they charged by the can or were they charged by the month or whatever. But I saw two cans on our street that were out, and that's the reason I knew that they were empty, because when I went out at 8 o'clock, they were already dumped. But I'm not sure how much that second Saturday is being used. I'm not sure whether it's of great value to the citizens. Maybe in some places it is. My question is that second Saturday really of value when they pick it up at 7 o'clock in the morning instead of 4 or 5 in the afternoon? Or maybe we ought to change it to Monday or something. I think that if all they're doing is driving up and down the streets and charging the same amount as they are for picking up cans every week, I think that's a very poor usage of our funds, you know, especially the citizens, because I'm sure that we're paying for it. So I'd like to know basically how that works and how they get paid and of what value it really is.
Can I make a comment on this? In our neighborhood, we use it a lot. We have a GroupMe text, and so we put a text out on Friday night, and we do make the suggestion that they do come early and so that they put to remember to put it out on Friday night. I know that they do come very early. I want to say like as early as 6:30. So people do miss it a lot because for that very reason that they get busy. And usually if they miss it once, they don't miss it the next month. So So in our neighborhood, it is something that is appreciated and it gets used quite often. So I'm sorry that you missed it.
Well, I don't use my can very much anyway.
Sure.
So tomorrow, yeah. Or the day after tomorrow when I use it, I still, usually a week is about this much at the bottom. So now I've got about 3/4 full of some twigs I picked up. So it really didn't make that much difference. But I'm just wondering how much, you know, what is the cost and what's the ROI on that service?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the cost is to the city, but I know that sometimes it's very beneficial, especially like pruning season and things like that. I think it's very beneficial, but a lot of people, I'm sure, forget sometimes.
Dee, I kind of agree with you. I'm of the camp where if I don't get it out early and I see them go by, I mean, they're not going to stop for me. I might be running it out to the curb, and they're going to zip right by. And so it's, I think it's a really good money maker for that company, because I don't think the pickup is as, I don't know what the cost is, if they pay per bucket that's picked up or what. Maybe Ken can tell us, but I think you raise a really legitimate question. And is it used enough to justify the costs?
Dee, none of your comments are getting recorded.
I'm not loud enough.
I agree that it's very helpful, and I think it's needed. I just don't know. You know, some people are probably filling it up because they go out Friday afternoon, but most people work Monday through Friday, and so they have Thursday night, basically, or maybe Friday night, to put some in there. And how many people are, you know, my question is there a better way to do it, or are we getting our money's worth for it? That's Thank my real question.
Thank you, valid question. Ken, do you want
to? Well, let me say just one thing, and then I'm gonna kick this over to Heidi to fill in the blanks on the smart part of the answer. I'll give the lame part of the answer. No, we have one truck that comes through. That's and I think they're only taking two runs up to the to where they take our trash, and you just can't do that. You can't pick up everybody's trash at a convenient time. You have to start really early in the morning, and it goes all day. And I believe we're charged just based on how many cans we have in the city. But I'll let Heidi try to answer that.
So it's a monthly charge of $1.43 per household. So, and it's charged whether they pick up or collect or not.
Okay. So I remember the discussion. In fact, I think this was my suggestion, was the second Saturday. I use it. We were going through some discussions on, first of all, our spring and fall pickups, or, you know, and there was some discussion, do we actually go to curbs and pick it up, or do we make people bring it somewhere? And so this was kind of a compromise. And I would have to say that it's been going for 8 or 9 years probably, and it has not caught on like I thought it would, to be honest. And having said that, I just proposed a few weeks ago that we make it year-round so that we can pick up Christmas overflows and such as that. And so I guess I don't feel strongly about it, but.
Can I, since we're doing this impromptu conversation on this, this is anecdotal, but my read is that the newly incorporated areas really like this, and that they latched onto it, and it was a service that they obviously weren't getting prior to annexation, and they really enjoyed it. And for what it's worth, on my street, it's actually the utilization of it is extremely high. So maybe it's something that we lean into the marketing of it and sort of get it going. I think the alliteration of Second Saturday is really smart.
And obviously, if everyone in the city took advantage of it, they would need more trucks to come and do it all.
$1.43 isn't very much. That was basically my question, pretty much, is what's it costing us whether we use it or not?
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to our next item, which is consideration of resolution 2025-25R, a resolution setting the certified tax rate for the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget. Heidi.
Thank you. So by statute, the city council is required to adopt the certified tax rate. This is the auditor's certified tax rate by June 30th of each year. And actually, it might be June 22nd. I think it's the budget by June 30th. They swapped that law a little bit ago, or that requirement. The certified tax rate for fiscal year 2025-2026 is this .000855, which will generate $3,016,022 in revenues. A little over 64,000 of that is revenues from new growth. And one thing I always like to try and point out when we're adopting this resolution is any other taxing entities are just taking a tax increase that would impact our residents. It does look like the school district is tentatively planning a truth and taxation hearing in August. But I'll make sure that we get that exact date and time out to the group once we know and once it's fully advertised. It won't be advertised publicly until July. This is just from an internal meeting that was held, so they are certainly considering that. Are there any questions on the
I just want to say that I probably mentioned this before, but among the mayors in Davis County, there is some grumbling that so, you know, I agree with the concept that there shouldn't be a windfall to the taxing agencies just because our houses got more valuable. But in a sense here, we're adopting a rate lower than last year. And so there's been some talk like, shouldn't there be consideration for at least a CPI that holds us, you know, because everything is costing more. And without going through truth and taxation, should we be able to at least sort of keep up with inflation? And I think that has merit too. So obviously we're not going to change the legislature, but.
Well, I believe under the state code, you can have a certified tax rate up to 0.007. Mm-hmm. And so this is way lower than is allowed by state code.
Any questions for Heidi on this? Okay.
I would love to propose a tax decrease. Am I okay to do that?
We have a lower tax rate this year than we
did. Yeah, I'm all for lower tax rates.
It would be nice if it reflected on our tax bills.
Yeah, but. Yeah. One little piece of the pie, but that's okay. I would still love to move that the City Council approve Resolution 2024-25R, 2025-25R, resolution setting the certified property tax rate for all properties located within the city boundaries for fiscal year 2025-26.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Next item is consideration of resolution 2025-26R, a resolution adopting the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget. Heidi?
Thank you. So we held a public hearing for the 2025-2026 budget at the last City Council meeting. We did receive one public comment. That did not seem to impact really what was presented. We also approved the wages for the executive staff by separate ordinance, as well as a wage increase for the city council, which is incorporated in these numbers. It was about a $3,500 increase and didn't really require us to change what had previously been presented as the tentative budget. And so the total budget for fiscal year 2025-2026 represents a spend down of fund balance of $2.4 million. You can see that total all funds on the far right. and that's largely related to streets capital projects. We're doing a very large project that will span multiple fiscal years, and we're using some reserves for that project. Largely, it's grant funded as well. And so you can see some of the funds are a little bit over, a little bit under spend down for the year, and that's very, very typical of what we adopt.
Thank you. Any questions on this?
Yeah, just so that I understand correctly, we have a budgeted revenue of 39 and a budget expense of 41 million with a shortfall of 2.4 million.
Yes.
So we are not adopting a balanced budget.
The budget is balanced by use of or contribution to fund balance. But it's just not really clear, because typically when you adopt the budget, and if you take a look, revenues will equal expenditures, because statutorily we're supposed to do that. And so in every budget, there's a line item that's either a contribution, it's a balancing line item that's either the contribution to the fund balance or a use of. And so I've just broken that out into that last column so you can see which direction the relationship is going. It's very, very rare that it just automatically balances. We only have one fund that does that, and we're doing that in the Water Capital Fund because it's a brand new fund.
Okay, thank you.
How does this relate to previous years? Is this an outlier in any way in terms of the level, the percentage that had to be rebalanced, the use of?
It is not. We have been very capital heavy the last few years. If anything, it's a little less capital heavy because we have had the debt service construction funds that we've been spending for both Hatch Park and Foxborough Wetlands. So our overall, our total expenditures are a little less than in previous years. But yes, yeah, so this is what that 2.4 that's being spent in the streets fund is going to be Class C road funds, that extra quarter tax, transportation tax income. It's just monies that have been saved and reserved over a few years to put towards the project, and some impact fees.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the council approve resolution 2025-26R adopting the fiscal year 2025-26 general fund, special revenues fund, debt service fund, capital projects fund, enterprise fund, and internal service fund budgets.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Suzette?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Next item is consideration of resolution 2025-27R, a resolution adopting amendments to the city's comprehensive fee schedule for utility rates, late fees, stormwater management, fines, and fees. Heidi?
All right. So as presented and discussed during the budget retreat and during the tentative budget process, it's my understanding that the interest was to move forward with the capital facilities plan that included the escalation in water rates that was set forth by the Bowen and Collins study back in 2022. So for this upcoming budget year, that is an 8% increase in water, which is variable based on meter size and usage, and a $1 increase in storm fees, which is an increase from $9 to $10 or 11.11%. Solid waste fund requires no increase. There's no infrastructure that we're, setting aside funds for future improvements in that fund. And so it's just the cost of providing the services. A new item proposed this evening is a late fee on our past due utility accounts. One of the things that we're noticing is when we don't have the ability to shut water off, we're having a difficult time collecting. We have a whole bunch of new customers that have other utility services, but not water, particularly in our annexation area. And so this would just help a little bit, try and give us a little bit more of an incentive to pay on time before having to send accounts to collections. And then the last items are related to the stormwater discussion that was had at the last city council meeting, the new changes legislatively that were requiring new fines and discharge fees that required us to change our fee schedule to correspond with that, where the fee is now more associated with the type of violation rather than just a vague reference, which is what we'd kind of had in the last, in our current version of the code.
Questions?
I feel like I should probably mention that I have started a fairly robust discussion as I'm educating myself on all of the parameters of the water fees and the tiered system that we're using. I think it would at least be worth our time when we do our strategic meeting to have a policy discussion. I think there are a lot of facets to this that make up the decisions that the city made, and that's valid. But I do think also that it would be worth the discussion. So obviously for this year and this budget, everything is as it is, and this would be just a kind of a high level how we implement policies across the city discussion that I would love to have in our strategic planning. And if we made any changes, it would be, you know, 26, 27 and going on. But since I only CC'd city officials, I just thought I would put that out there that I've been having a discussion and would love to get everyone else's opinion when the time is right.
Okay. Anything else? Motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council approve Resolution 2025-27R, resolution amending the city's comprehensive fee schedule related to the utility rates, late fees, and stormwater management fines and fees.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
I have one, and this is maybe for our city attorney to answer. I know we're doing this by resolution, but I'm wondering why we shouldn't be doing that, if we should be doing this by ordinance.
I have not seen any other cities use an ordinance to establish their fees, and I'm generally a fan of resolutions for fees. I think when we adopt them by ordinance, it removes some of the city's discretion and flexibility in the way you can apply those in some circumstances where.
Yeah, and that's kind of why that's my point, is that it does tie the city down more. And it is a fee schedule that impacts everybody. Anyway, we'll do it this way. But I know in cities I represent, we're doing it by ordinance.
Okay. Any other discussion? Let's start with Suzette.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Heidi, how about one more thing? Presentation of the annual fraud risk assessment.
The best for last, right? And no decisions need to be made here, so that's great too. So the fraud risk assessment was a requirement that came about back in 2020-ish with the new state auditor coming in, and we have subsequently elected another state auditor. But it requires us to assess our risk for fraud, waste, and abuse based on our policies and procedures, our internal controls, our assignments or responsibilities for our financial activities. So we've scored the same every year, 365 out of 395. So we're in the very best category, which is very low risk. But we could improve that score in a couple ways. We could adopt new policies, either an IT and computer policy, cash receipting and deposits policy, which would come out of our treasury office. And I've been working with Stacy on that. And I think we would potentially have something fairly quickly and easily to put forward on that. And then the last is formalizing an internal audit function, which is a challenging with a city our size. Larger entities have a full-time internal auditor. My role as finance director, I do kind of function as the internal audit and trying to make sure that we don't have two people doing too much of the same responsibility, that they can push a transaction or a financial transaction all the way through from beginning to end without any oversight. But that doesn't mean anyone's overseeing the procedures that I put in place, except for our external auditors. So that would be something else that we could put in place to improve our score. Were there any questions?
One I noticed when I looked through the packet and read the materials, and there was one particular area where we have yes, 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 and the no, no, no. Do you think we need to address that?
So every time we have a no, we have a mitigating factor in place. So if we don't have a designated staff, we have dual controls where we have two people reviewing or another a secondary review to achieve the same level of, or at least a better assurance that there isn't fraudulent activity. So at that point, it would take, you know, coercion amongst multiple staff members for something to happen.
Good answer. So, and I'm glad we have that in the record. I want that in the minutes.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this? I mentioned this in our audit meeting, but the four or five boards I'm on, I don't think we've ever had a 365. So, yay North Salt Lake on that. Okay, thank you, Heidi. Next item is consideration of Ordinance 2025-12, an ordinance amending the city code Title 7, Chapter 7, pertaining to unsanctioned camping on public grounds. Craig? Chief?
Thank you, Mayor. Sherry was going to present this, and a little while ago, I guess Ken's probably already told you, but she's a new grandma today, and asked if I would do this for her. And since she's not here, she's going to have to dig for this compliment to find out I said it, but she usually writes such great ordinances that I didn't pay a ton of attention to this other than when she sent it off for the initial look at, and she does such good research. I usually just say, yeah, it looks good to me, and, Sherry, and then we'll figure out what I didn't understand later on when it comes up. But in this case, before I presented the whole of the ordinance changes, the amendments to you, I would like to note one change that I would like to see made in this particular ordinance. It's in subsection B, number 3. I would like to add, unless approved in writing by an authorized city official. We do have occasions where events are held at our city parks or other open facilities where a camp stove or a camp chef or a grill may be set up for like a community breakfast or a dinner or something. It's not really part of camping, but the way we're just defining what camping is, if someone was to set up a camp cooking apparatus without authorization, that would fall under this definition. So with that one change in mind that I would like to bring to the council's attention, Sherry did do a lot of work in looking what other efficient city ordinances were. A lot of this came, I think, from Salt Lake City's ordinance when we talked a little bit about it. They have a very succinct ordinance. I know there's some question over the years how well that's been enforced in that city, but in this city, ours has been a little bit broad and difficult to enforce. This really cleans up our ordinance. So if we find someone on any kind of a public property that is not an authorized campground that has set up any of those signs or those clues in Section B, we can deem that as camping and ask them to move on. Any questions or concerns or other suggestions?
I really appreciate this. Just from this can become a real problem real quickly if it's not addressed.
And in fact, in some cases, it has been a problem for us. This will simplify that a lot. Now, just as a point of practicality, there are times where we see these kinds of encampments set up that are not under what we would call in subsection C as public property. And that is a different part of our ordinance, where a property owner cannot allow that kind of camping or that kind of residential use of their property. That's in another part of the code. So a private property owner can't say, my yard is a, this is probably the wrong term, but a sanctuary yard, and anybody that wants to come and set up a camp in my front yard. That's a different part of our code. This only applies to streets, sidewalks, parks, trailways, those kinds of things.
So to go to how you want that to be amended under subsection B, you'll say except as permitted by an authorized.
You could probably wordsmith it much better than I can, council member. I had said unless approved in writing by an authorized city official.
And then I would put that in A. Unless authorized by a city official, it is unlawful for blah blah blah. That's where I put it, in A, not.
Oh, so that any of those things could be done in subsection B.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you entrust Sherry and I to write that per that direction?
Yeah, I mean, if that's how. Yeah, because I mean, you've got the purposes of the section camping. That's just the definition section under B. So the exception should be under A. I'm happy to work with you, Sherry, on that. It's an easy fix.
And. A different question. Under C, the definition of public grounds, I'm just thinking through, does that squarely cover schools?
Yes, a school is a political subdivision. That? School okay. district and school is this political subdivision.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great point, because I also think the school district has its own ordinances as it pertains to their properties. I know Granite School District does. And they may already have something in place, but if it doesn't, this would cover that, Councilmember Nolan, so good point.
So I have a question. You brought up the scenario of a rogue property owner doesn't have the right. What if we had a rogue city official? You know, saying, okay, I'm giving permission to anyone to come camp anywhere they want in our city.
I think that it's subject to do things. I think it's subject to city council. We would admonish and say we're not going to do that. That's not to be allowed. Court enforcement could look at if it's a problem, and that could go through that process. It is a possibility that a city official could grant it without good grounds.
I think that could happen, but ultimately any decision that is made by a city official is subject to the review of the city manager. And I think if the city manager saw that kind of a decision was being made, he's probably going to, based on my experience, say something to me.
can we take that?
Not that I've never made any mistakes where Ken has said that's probably not the way you're going to do that.
Is that the way it's done, though? Is it the city manager that has ministerial authority over these kinds of things?
In most things, yeah. This is kind of new code, and I guess going back to your suggestion, you're suggesting that there be exceptions to the entirety of the definition of camping. So any of those activities, 1, 2, or 3, could be allowed by a city official. Is that right?
Unless what the chief wanted was he just wanted it with regard to grills and so forth.
I think
under subsection
I think
two
that
or
is the
three.
More common circumstance.
So the cooking, the propane use, that
right.
one.
Right.
Okay, well then if you want to just narrow it to under three, cooking and use it except as permitted, is that would that be more suitable?
Yes.
I think for us it would be also. I will tell you as a matter of practical enforcement, if we're up at Wild Rose Trail on a call and we've got three kids that have strung a hammock up, we're not going to arrest these kids. That's just not how discretion is going to be enforced or even applied. And if it did, that's a problem that I, as the department head, would have to solve with the enforcement side of that. I think to deal with the cooking is something that we as a city do. We do this for city events. I know at the Night Out Against Crime, we take a mobile grill down with Lee's and we flip hamburgers and we flip hot dogs for people. By the way, that's without that exception in there, we're violating our own city ordinance by doing that. Mm-hmm. There's not too many other circumstances where I think we would erect a structure or a tent. But I don't know, Ken. Maybe
the only
this
other
is a good point that maybe we're not quite ready for prime time on this, because would a canopy for an event?
We could. The only other circumstance I recall us having tents in public parks is when we had some state firefighters mobilizing at Tunnel Springs Park, and they were there for a couple of nights.
Which is exempted by this code, by the way.
Exempt, specifically exempt in paragraph A.
Let's just say, for example,
you have a variant of your unity in the community and you have a July 24th event in a city park where you let people camp.
Like a camp out?
Yeah, a camp out.
Community camp out.
Right. So you wouldn't be able to do that the way it's currently drafted.
Yeah, I don't.
And Salt Lake City allows camping on public lands and all those easements for the parades for the July 24th. So this isn't pulled completely from Salt Lake City.
I don't really have a problem with the exception applying to everything. I think, just so you understand, I don't think we'll be making that exception very often. So if someone just walks in and says, hey, I want to camp for a couple of nights along the Jordan River on the city's boat ramp property, can I do that? No one's going to give them that exception.
Right.
So just so you know that.
Right. Well, then
maybe you just go with the one we've got, the more narrow right now, and see if down the road somebody comes and says, okay, well, we need to amend the ordinance because this
could.
This is a trend that we're seeing that we want to support on July 24th or whatever. Okay.
And again, please know that the enforcement of any law or ordinance is subject to a lot of discretion. We can't effectively write rules for everything we can come up with. That one just stood out to me immediately, but Lisa, I do appreciate what you're pointing out here. I think in some of these cases, we would just have to say, this was not the spirit of what the city council meant in passing this ordinance, and use our best discretion as to how we enforced it, and that it was certainly done in a fair and a non-biased manner,
right,
more than anything. I also think that the scenario you brought up where there, let's say we did have some civil protest or some civil unrest, and they did want to use a park unlawfully like that, I don't think we would want to allow that to happen. I'm not saying that we would immediately use this as the tool to get rid of them, mm-hmm, based on what the circumstances of the whole situation were, mm-hmm, but I don't think we would not want to have that as a tool. In 2020, during the Occupy protests we saw in major cities, they allowed those to get set up in defiance of their ordinances, but they also took them down for that same, because they did have ordinances in place.
Well, typically, though, in our codes, we have permits to utilize parks for certain purposes.
Sure.
And so if you're going to have a protest, they'd get a permit to use the park. But this is different. This is just camping.
This is meant to solve the homeless issue, where we're not having people that are challenged by homelessness coming up and setting up a tarp and a cooking.
Right. And it's required by the state legislature.
That's right.
We have to enact this.
Yeah.
And we saw such a big difference once this was passed when Salt Lake adopted it on Capitol Hill. It was almost night and day within a week. I noticed a big difference anyway.
Okay.
But I think I would err towards keeping that exception narrow for now.
Yeah.
And then if it needed to be amended, I think that that just provides a few more checks and balances and protection, keeping it narrow. And then, of course, it could be amended if needed.
Certainly.
Probably a good time to point out we're having a pancake breakfast at Liberty Fest. Now it's legal.
Bring your tarp.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion on this.
I'll make a motion. I move that the council approve ordinance 2025-12, amending Title VII, Chapter 7, related to unsanctioned camping, with the findings as listed in the staff report.
And would you also add that?
Thank you. And with the language to provide administrative discretion, as suggested by Chief Black.
Thanks. Does that work?
I don't know. Let's see if anyone seconds it.
I wouldn't second that for anything.
I would like to second that, Ted. Thank you. I'll second.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any further discussion on this? We'll start with Tammy.
Aye.
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 Thank you.
And thanks to Sherry for that.
Thanks, Chief. Next item is consideration of proposed amendments to the contract with Murphy & Murphy Law LLC for public defender service in our municipal court. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. Sorry to bring this back to the council. You previously approved this agreement, and sometimes when you have three-party agreements, things change, even though you think you've got it all put together.
Hey, it's Murphy's Law.
It's Murphy's Law. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
You might owe me for teeing that one up for you.
Yeah.
But
you were the straight man.
Anyway, we received proposed changes from Woods Cross, which have been highlighted in your copy of the agreement. I think the changes are terrific. And make, in some cases, make the agreement much better and much stronger. In other cases, I'm totally neutral on some of these changes, but in particular, there's a good termination clause that's been added,
yes.
Which I appreciated. I wasn't particularly concerned about this agreement. It's not a service we use very often, and so I wasn't super concerned, but I think it's a good change. So these have been proposed by Woods Cross. This is the agreement they would like to enter into, and Murphy and Murphy have agreed to these changes as well, as Murphy's Law would have it.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this? Motion?
I'll make a motion. I move the City Council approve the proposed amendments to the Professional Services Agreement for Public Defense Attorney Services between the City of North Salt Lake, West Bountiful City, and Murphy & Murphy Law, LLC.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. I was going to say, Ken, you mentioned Woods Cross twice, but you meant West Bountiful.
Oh, I'm sorry if I said Woods Cross. Yeah. It's West Bountiful, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I was...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay. Any further discussion on this? Suzette?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Next item is approval of the City Council minutes for June 3rd.
I make them all... Oh, I wasn't here, but I did read them. So I better not.
I don't have any changes, Mayor.
Somebody.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of June 3rd, 2025.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That's approved. Action items?
I'm just wondering, David, did you ever hear back from the design company or the architect? I'm not sure. Is it a design or an architectural company?
Yes, both. Yeah, about an hour ago.
Serious?
Yeah.
They have uncanny timing right before City Council.
I bugged them because I didn't want to not have an answer.
Thank you.
They gave us, it's kind of hard to read them on my phone. I was trying to look at the proposals, but I think we'll go through them, maybe we'll bring them back, right, Ken? And show them. I got to go through it a little bit better, but okay. There's some options where they phased it, and
good.
They're cheaper. So
progress. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we'll start working on it. We also have a proposal from another firm for the Center Street landscaping.
Oh, great.
So down in the industrial park. So we're moving on both of those. We'll report back to you on those right away.
Great. Thank you.
Anything else on action items? Going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are we on the use of the building, the city hall, and putting together procedures?
We will, it has not been our highest priority. We had a discussion at the last meeting that we would put the action items on our on a council meeting to specifically address action items that are we're not getting to, and I'm not suggesting we won't get to those, but we had a significant discussion at the last meeting about a report that staff has been asked to put together on the realistically how are we going to get some of these assignments done, because some of them have been on here for so long. But after July 4th, we will move the city hall use of the building up in its priority. Right now, we just are just up to here with Liberty Fest. So that's an excuse. I'm sorry to make an excuse for you, but anyway, we'll get that done. Thank you.
I think I might have one more, and it's just passing, but when we went to that conference in St. George, we did discuss really briefly, I think maybe John might have mentioned, I don't know, there was that company or you had talked to a previous company, but there were some companies advertising about city apps, and I don't know what all of their limitations were. It sounds like it's a whole different animal to try and get a live app that can, you know, AI into the railroad schedule. But I know that Elisa was wanting to prioritize at least communication through an app. So maybe...
I think there's two projects there. One is an alert system for related to trains, and the other is really more of a communication vehicle, an information vehicle. And so they're probably on different tracks. I do think the rail warning system is a really high priority for us.
But the trickier one, right?
But it's harder.
Yeah. Ted, you're not going to make a comment about the rail being on the wrong track there? Yeah,
I think I used up my puns for the night.
But
Salt Lake City, incidentally, has a system, an alert system, and we're looking at that one right now, too.
Oh.
So, yeah.
How do they get the schedule?
I'm not sure that they have the schedule. I think it's more what we're going to end up with, which is alerting the public that there's a train delay. It's not going to be knowing the schedule, because I really don't think we're going to know the schedule.
Okay.
But it might be a robust way of alerting the public with enough time for them to make decisions, route decisions that would avoid trains. So that's really the
goal. Well, would be very helpful.
That would be ideal.
I think that would, really help. Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Okay. Let's go to council reports. Let's start with Tammy.
I don't have anything other than I do have one member of our events committee that had to not be on it anymore, so we'll be looking for a member for the next, hopefully we'll be able to put her on next time at the city council meeting, but other than that, I don't have anything.
Ted?
Okay. First, wanted to note a very successful unity in our community Juneteenth event. I went to part of it. Tammy went to part of it. Ken was there. Chief Black was there. But I think it's just the unity in our community events are just a really great way for us as a community to say, look, we're a welcoming place. I think it's awesome. Okay, next item. and I'll invite David Franson to just chime in at will. Myself, David, have met with our counterparts from Woods Cross to further advance the shared planning of the dog park. So we have a name that we've talked about, which we really like. It is the Flash Cairo Park. Flash Cairo, the names of two police dogs, one from each community, brought together. Flash Cairo, pretty cool, I think. And we have talked about improvements that we would fund collaboratively, namely a pavilion. And I think things are progressing. David, anything you want to add on this?
TJ and our guys have been down there working on it, getting the fence. Do you have a date on the fence exactly? Sorry, I thought you had a mic.
I'll come up here. So they're down there installing the poles, the line posts right now. I don't know, I'd probably put them at 60% done. And then we have a concrete contractor that's lined up later this week. I know this microphone's annoying, it keeps cutting out. But they'll start on the concrete flat work down there. So we have plenty of stuff to keep us busy.
Yeah, really proud of our guys, John included, done a lot of good work on this. It's taken a little bit longer because we've done so much stuff in-house.
Yeah.
But we've saved a ton of money, and it's going to look really cool when it's done. So the fencing's taken some time to line up, and John had a little bit. We had to get approval for fencing because of overhead power and some weird things. So there's been some complications, but we're hoping in the next couple months to maybe do a grand opening. So.
And John, let me apologize for not calling on you and calling on David. You've been right in the middle, immersed in all the details. And I think it's a habit of mine that I lean on David for details.
Well, David had the name of the dog park. Yeah. I was close. I told you it was Cash Cairo.
Right, yeah.
So
This is not an inconsequential thing that, you know, two neighboring cities come together to do this kind of thing. I think it's not just the substance of what we're doing together, but the fact that we are doing it together is really noteworthy, and we should celebrate it. So, last thing for me, I will be not at our second meeting in July, which is July 15. So I will miss that meeting due to vacation.
Thank you. Did we come to any decision on the July 1st meeting, or are we just going to?
Well, we have had some disagreement among the city staff about that. So I had another about what we thought we heard in a council meeting. Oh. I thought I heard that we were canceling the meeting. Others didn't hear that. So if you wish to cancel it, we
Is your mic?
I think we did mention we were canceling it because of the events, the second, third, and
it would be better for the city staff who has the car show and Liberty Fest if we could.
So. Because it's July 2nd, right?
It's July 2nd and 3rd.
And that is the car show.
That's the car show.
And so, like, I haven't signed up yet, but I plan on volunteering.
Uh-huh.
And and so I do think we should cancel it. It's
I mean, there's not direct interference, you understand. We're all free on Tuesday night, the 1st. But, the very next, that whole, from now to July 1st, we're all busy. Then we're very busy that week. So
right.
If we don't absolutely have to have a meeting.
Do we have a sense of stuff coming up on the schedule at all? Are we?
Yeah, we don't have any developments, which is always the main driver. So
I there's no joy quite like a canceled meeting.
I'm pretty sure that that's what you said, and so I think that was our I think that was our decider.
Okay, we'll have no meeting.
Great, thank you.
Okay, Lisa.
You all saw the note that I sent on the golf committee. That's about the only thing I've got to report. I did ask a question about whether or not we could have a dog park in the Landslide area, Landslide Park, Spring Hill Landslide Park, or whatever we call it. And I saw some sort of response to that, that Allie had looked into it or something.
She has looked into it, and I don't know that I have a final answer for you. So her conclusion was, and she called our state representative that assisted us in getting the FEMA grant originally. His interpretation of the deed restriction is that we ought not to plan anything on the deed restricted portion, but it's not all deed restricted. So on 350 East, which is the street below the landslide, the city owns property there that we could, that is not in the deed restriction, that we might consider for a dog park, if you wish us to pursue that.
If the council's willing, we maybe could look into that some more, because this addresses the concern we have with people who want to have a dog park in Hatch Park, which is contrary to what we've planned for Hatch Park for many years. So if you guys are all comfortable with it, let's look and see what we can do.
We'll look at it
on 350 East.
Sure.
Thank you.
You bet.
Suzette?
And I don't have anything tonight either. The Arts Committee did meet while I was out of town, and they, I should ask Heidi, well, I think you're out of town too, but they're moving forward at a rapid pace with mural and several other fun items, so next time I will give a good comprehensive arts report. And so it's something to look forward to.
Did you need me to send you that picture of?
Oh, right, that you want, the mural.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
That's all, Mayor.
Todd, do you have anything for us?
No, Mayor.
Thank you. I don't have much. Well, so Wasatch Integrated Recycling got best in Davis County.
Yes.
Now, the obvious... The obvious question is, they're the only one in Davis County. Maybe Bountiful has the recycling. I don't know. Anyway. and I was going to read the contractor letter, but then I sent it to the council. Did you share that with the staff, Ken? The contractor letter?
I can't remember.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, public record here got a great letter from a contractor talking about how awesome our staff was, and thank you for that, and thanks for being awesome. That's all I have. Ken?
Do we have the video? I just have a video I want to share from last night's Juneteenth, and I just thought this was one of those epic moments that you should see.
But I want to introduce the sun and present to others. All right, Eddie, thank you so much. This is so fantastic. I hope you're all having fun, or you're geared up to have fun, huh? Yeah. Okay, so you might be asking, who is this guy talking? Hey, I'm Ted Knowlton, I'm on the city council. And how many of you, this is your first Juneteenth? All right, how many of this is, you've been like frequent flyers, yeah. I think that the unity in the community events is part of what makes our city special. North Salt Lake is a community that welcomes everybody. What do you think? You agree? Yeah. We love these events. It signals how much we care about everybody in our community. We're working to create a city where every area also has access to great parks, great transportation options, and that doesn't matter what part of the city you live in, you have a great experience living here. So, hey, have a lot of fun. Again, this is Ted Knowlton, North Salt Lake City Council. And I'll hand it back to Eddie. Have a great time, everybody. Thank you, Ted. Thank you.
So I thought you should see that. I appreciated that speech, and I'm sorry for panning around so much. My family says they hate my videos because I'm always panning around. But great job.
So I've got a question why that's still up. Where are you going on your vacation? And will you get some tan on your legs?
I don't think Northern Germany and Denmark is going to shed a lot of light on that skin.
All right. No, I just really appreciated that sentiment. It was a short speech, but a very appropriate speech for the event. And I think I would just report, we've been having this city tent at these events, at lots of different events this year, and I'm appreciative that the council's asked us to do that, because I've taken the chance to sit at that tent for several of these events. But last night was unique because we had lots and lots of people come to the tent. And, you know, they asked questions. They were from all kinds of different areas. I asked everybody where they were from. We had lots of people from out of town, and they, that were there because they had friends that lived in Foxborough, or they were visiting family up here. One gal from, she was from Provo, I think, but she had family and had grown up in Bountiful, so she heard about it and came. And so I think that this is a great event. The unity and community, no matter what the topic or the subject is a chance for our citizens to come together, and that even just the Monday night food trucks seems to be a real, it seems to be catching on as a great neighborhood event. So, you know, when we, sometimes I get a little frustrated that it feels like we don't make progress, but I see a lot of growth down there in these events. And maybe it just takes doing things over and over again to really have things sink in. And so anyway, I just wanted to report that I think that the community is engaging a little bit more than it used to. And if that was our goal, which I think it was and is, I know in the health and wellness committee, we talk a lot about community engagement and getting out to get to know your neighbor, that's a healthy solution to some of the isolation issues that people face. And so I'm encouraged when we have an activity like this and I see lots of people come out. I think it's just great. And I know it's a small fraction of the city, but nevertheless, great event. It's worth the effort, and it's a terrific event. So, but that's all I had, Mayor. Just that one great video.
Thank you. Anything else for the council here? Motion?
So moved.
We are adjourned. Thank you.